gospel and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get the Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Join the Beth Messiah congregation and celebrate Passover 2008 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Sunday, April the 20th, 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in North Glen. Deadline for reservations is April the 13th. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's 1-800-205-6245. And hug Sameach. Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Morning, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Barry Shamish, and he's going to tell you an amazing story, a story that's well known in Israel, not known here in the United States. But the significance of this story is the fact that the government would actually precipitate an incident to justify a reaction. Of course, in this action instance, why the government created an incident in it. Town in Israel called Hebron. I've been there. That's where the Cave of the Patriarchs are, where Abraham and his wife and his family are buried, or at least many of the members of his family are buried. A very holy place for both the Muslims and the Jews. But the leaders of Israel were intent upon forcing the Jews who lived in Hebron out. How would you create an incident? That's what this story is all about. And it's a fascinating story. Nobody knows it better than Barry. The one thing is that they can't let the people of Israel realize that their government would betray their people any more than the people in Washington, D.C., or globalists would dare to let the American people know that they would kill people like John Fitzgerald Kennedy or his brother or Martin Luther King, or that they would create incidents justify going to war. Anyway, well, that is a background. Barry Shamish, it's so good to have you with us this morning.
Always my delight. We will talk about the Hebron Institute massacre very shortly, and I'm going to make it simple. I spoke to you last night, and I realized the details are almost as profound as my Rabin book, and you just cannot tune people into the fine details. Certainly not the first listen. There are just too many characters involved. But let's start with something that is connected. And the reason I re-brought up Goldstein recently was there was another massacre in Jerusalem at a yeshiva called Merkaz HaRav, which is the heart of religious Zionism in Jerusalem. This was 3 weeks ago, and 8 students were killed and 11 wounded, and it's a miracle there weren't more. But I received a phone call 2 nights ago from an old friend of mine, Chaim, and he was in the yeshiva while the killing was going on. And he had a view, at least of the shooter, Chaim Dadon was his name. He watched him find a comfortable place outside the library to shoot the terrorist. And he was an eyewitness. More than that, I mean, it's a miracle he's alive, really. What he told me was the police didn't come for 40 minutes. And he said you know, obviously when every second is an eternity, it's tough to judge time, but he says minimum half an hour. And he said it felt to me like 40 minutes where we were alone listening to the shooting, and he added listening to the screams. He didn't go into detail, but he said, I just recovered from hearing the massacre. He was in a room above the library where the massacre took place. And they barricaded the door as best they could. They shut the light, and he said we were all dead quiet. He said one of our people picked up a cell phone to phone the police, and we told them not to do it. We just didn't want to be known to be in this room. And they waited in utter fear. He didn't use the word fear. He was very cool when he explained the story to me. But obviously, when you hear the shooting below you and you hear the screams of the victims, you're lying there in utter fear. And he was one of the people who, well, escaped death. And I'm awfully glad of that. He told me several things. He told me where I was right and where I was wrong. I wrote that the media had written about the killing of the terrorists by these two brave Jews, really, that they got two different stories. He says, forget that. That's the media. I was there. They killed him off. It doesn't matter the details. Don't harp on that. But he said there were issues that you can harp on. He said, first of all, the killer was a really big guy, and he stayed in the library, we think, afterwards because he had found a roost there, and it was safe, and there were people to shoot, and he wouldn't get shot himself. So he didn't go through the yeshiva killing anyone in his sight, and he had a lot of victims. In 40 minutes, if that time is right, he could have killed many dozens more, and he didn't. He stayed in one spot. And he said, the killer, he said, you wrote, how could he bring 20 magazine clips? He brought in 600 bullets plus a Kalashnikov rifle. How does an Arab walk through Jerusalem holding 70 pounds of ammunition and a rifle? And he said he was driven there. He said our people saw him pull up in a car with two other Arabs. And he said, nobody is making that point of that he was backed. It wasn't just a lone shooter who got mad one day. He said this was an operation, and it required planning. And he said this man did not come alone. He was driven to the yeshiva. Our people saw him get out of a car. There were two other Arabs in the car. And he said, our police and our secret services are not seeking out the accomplices. And he says, there were accomplices. We saw them. And that, by the way, is, you know, a very important point. He didn't work alone. That's what Chaim told me. Now, Chaim also went into details about the actual killer. He said he was a monster. He said he shot the victims over and over again to make sure they were dead 8-10 times over. And he said he wasn't a good shot. He said a friend of mine was shot at 10 times, and he missed all 10 times, and he escaped. He said another friend just... Whoops, I hear the music.
You hear the music? We'll be back in just a moment with Mary Shaffer here at the American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
We have many treasures here in wonderful, colorful Colorado. One of the lesser known is on the corner of Mulberry and Remington, right here in Fort Collins. Can you guess it? That's right, the Corner Coins and Jewelry Incorporated. It's family owned by John and Carol Anderson. They specialize in gold and silver coins, rare coins, and gold and silver bullion. Call today at 970-482-7759 or visit the corner at Remington, Mulberry, and Fort Collins. Again, that number is 970-482-7759. Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get the Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Join the Beth Messiah congregation and celebrate Passover 2008 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Sunday, April the 20th, 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in North Glen. Deadline for reservations is April the 13th. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's 1-800-205-6245. And hug Sameach.
Well, our guest this morning, Barry Shamish, he's telling us about the recent murder there of the students in the school there in Jerusalem. Pick up the story, Barry.
Well, Chaim is... do you have me?
Yes, I'm.
Good. Chaim, again, is lying on above the library where the killing is going on. He says for 40 minutes, he says minimum half an hour, but he says it felt like 40 minutes where no help arrived. And they actually, if it wasn't for two neighbors, there would have been 20 dead or more. And the police did not come to save the yeshiva. He said that it goes without saying that half an hour to 40 minutes without the police there, something is wrong. And he felt that afterwards. At the time, he was just hoping he wouldn't be killed. They were all hoping they wouldn't be killed, and no one came to save them. So keep that in mind. The police were not there, and that doesn't happen in Jerusalem. Understand that. Someone wanted this massacre to happen. Now, what he said also is that the business of the guard, why wasn't there a guard? He said, obviously, if there was a security check, he wouldn't have gotten in. He said there really should have been a security check. But he said, don't blame the yeshiva. He said, I know it's a terrible fact, and it's very angering, but he said a year ago, all the security throughout Jerusalem was very publicly lifted. And when you used to have guards on buses at bus stops, simply at points where terrorism would happen, they all got lifted a year ago. And he said, I don't know why that happens, but our yeshiva used to have a guard, and it didn't have a guard that night, and the killer just walked in unimpeded. And he said, this is beyond the yeshiva. This is something national. Said, don't blame the yeshiva for that. He was not angry that there wasn't a security guard at the entrance. I am, by the way. And the reason I said to him, he said he could have walked into any yeshiva throughout the city. They're all without guards now. I said he wasn't going to attack any yeshiva. He was going to attack your yeshiva. because you're the spiritual heart of the religious Zionist movement, Mir Kasarov. I said to him, this was an attack planned to lower your morale. And he said, well, if that was the case, he got it wrong. He said, if you think killing our kids is going to lower our morale, then you don't understand where we're coming from. He said, well, our morale has tightened since the massacre, which, by the way, maybe it's true, but in the long run, you just keep up these atrocities, and somewhere along the line, you're going to crack, I assume. But he said, no, our morale is better than ever. You can't kill our kids and hurt our morale. Fine. For now, I suppose that may be true. But again, how many kids are you going to sacrifice to a belief? And that's the issue. What he said also was when the police didn't close down the memorial tents. Now, just to remind you, the day after the massacre in Jerusalem, there was the Arabs set up a tent where everyone in town could congratulate the family for their fine son and his patriotic killing of 8 Jews. And he said, well, look, we both talked about this. In our days in the army, we would not have wasted half a second to shut down the tent and to arrest everyone inside who was celebrating a massacre. But this time, the government kept the memorial tent open, and his explanation was not that profound. He said, I'll tell you the truth, I don't understand it. I guess that's my duty in life, to understand things like that. As far as I'm concerned, the attack on Mir Kasarov was a government action intended to kill as many of these pesky patriots as the killer could get away with before the police stepped in and put an end to it. And then the Arabs themselves were free to celebrate the massacre throughout Jerusalem. This was all done on purpose. And, well, the Jews still don't catch on. And it happened just before Purim. And 14 years ago, there was another massacre. And I brought it out of my files to remind people that the Kasarov massacre was the exact same people, the exact same peacemakers who organized the Hebron massacre of February 25th, 1994. Now, I'm going to avoid, you know, it's funny when we do the shows, I actually practice on the first show. I'm a little more polished when we get to the Denver show this morning, and we have the Friday show. I have it all worked out. These are very hard stories to follow if you weren't there, if you're not Israeli, and for me to sort them out actually takes practice. I'm going to talk about the massacre, but I'm going to tell you what happened first, and then try and supply some of the details. Are we ready?
All right, fine. But remember, this massacre appeared many years ago. It involved a fellow named Goldstein, and, of course, it occurred in Hebron, where Goldstein was accused of having killed a number of Muslims, which he didn't do. But pick up the story.
Well, in Israeli history, the Hebron massacre is never forgotten. It was the turning point in the peace process when the Israeli people decided the settlers have to go because Goldstein supposedly walked in to the Cave of the Patriarchs where the Muslims were praying, 600 of them, and started shooting it up, killing 39. The army actually said 29, but 51 were dead. Let's find out who killed them and how it was done. Baruch Goldstein was a doctor. He was also a major in the reserves of the IDF. On the evening of February 23rd, no, it was already the morning of the 24th, I'd say it was probably about 4 in the morning.
What year? What year?
1994.
Okay.
He gets a call that he's needed as a doctor. There was an incident at the mosque. There are people hurt. You're on duty. This is a, this, by the way, is a Thursday night, a Friday morning now. He puts on his uniform because he thinks he's on Army duty. He puts on his Army uniform, gathers his gun, that's what you do, and left a note to his wife, Miriam. The note did not say, I am going to avenge our people. The note said, I am on Milouim, which means reserve duty. And he left the note for his wife. A Jeep picked him up. Now, this is an incredibly important detail, but I'll go into it later. Israelis know all about the Jeep. He was taken with two other soldiers. Spitzer and Unger were the two soldiers who took him to the Cave of the Patriarchs. And I'm going to go into other details. There's so many of them. The key of the matter is the public was told he walked into the mosque and shot it up. But that's not what happened. First of all, he did not go into the mosque by the entrance to the mosque because there was one soldier there. His name was Rotem. And Rotem testified that Goldstein arrived at 5:20 but did not pass through his entrance, which means there was only one other entrance on the Jewish side. It went through a door that was an Abraham hall, and that's the only way he could have got in. Unfortunately, that door was under lock and key, and Goldstein didn't have the key. And that immediately meant he had help. Goldstein walks in the mosque, and here's the important thing. He was not alone. And how do we know that? Because a reporter for Yerushalayim magazine, Abu Khaled Tuema, went to 6 hospitals on the morning of the massacre, interviewed 25 people from age 9 to 80. Every one of them, the majority said there were 3 that walked in. A minority said there were 2 that walked in. Not a one of them saw a lone shooter. Not a one of them. And Goldstein was not alone. He was with 2 compatriots. I'll go into other details how we know who they were, but let's just say he walked into that mosque with 2 other soldiers. That's what the Arabs saw. There was a commission of inquiry headed by Mayor Shamgar, the judge who covered up the Rabin assassination. They said Goldstein was the lone shooter. They said every one of the Arabs, there were a dozen of them that testified to the commission, that Goldstein walked in with 2 more. He was not alone. Shamgar said they all lied. Every one of them lied. Next, everyone in the mosque, Jew and Arab, heard 2 grenades go off. They all heard 2 grenades. What Shamgar said was that the imam of the mosque put his hand to the microphone twice to keep the crowd quiet, and those were the grenades. The imam striking the microphone. Those were the grenades. Like, people can't tell the difference between a microphone and a grenade. But that's what Shamgar concluded, that the cause of the grenades was the imam slapping the microphone twice. Well, they were real grenades. They were stun grenades because there was no shrapnel. And everyone heard them. And then there were shots. In the mosque itself, according to Shamgar, no less, there were 6 bullets that didn't come from Goldstein's gun. The cartridges were found by the police on the floor. Now, again, that's a more complicated story, but leave it at that. After the stun grenades, there were 6 blank bullets shot by the other 2 soldiers. At that point, with the crowd now in total panic, the two of Goldstein's accomplices rushed out of the mosque and locked the door behind them, leaving Goldstein alone against 600 crazed worshippers. Now, at this point in the Shamgar Commission, one honest judge, there was an honest judge, and he was an Arab. His name was Zuabi. He said, well, if Goldstein was inside and the door was locked from the outside, he said, then there was a conspiracy. Goldstein could not have locked the door. He was inside the mosque, and the door was locked from outside the mosque. And Zuabi said, right then and there, that proves there was a conspiracy. And this is in the records, and it was ignored. But the fact is, Goldstein could not have been alone. Who locked the door behind him? They left him alone with the mob going crazy inside the mosque. And then you look at the dead, and you look at the wounded. And this is something with help from someone named Abraham Yosef. I did. There were 29 dead, according to the army. They were all over 60 years old. None were shot. In the panic, they were trampled to death. There was, remember, 600 people in a very small room. You've been in. Oops. I hear the music.
We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shannon. Let's talk about this example of government creating an issue. Get a reaction.
Discover Magneticare cell-activating liquid complex and RX magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting Magneticare liquid complex, cream, or RX magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb. Tom, what makes the Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality product available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
Dr. Stan back here with Barry Shamish. Before we go on, Barry, I want you to get out your website. I want you to get out, tell people how they can get your books and how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to.
Well, this book in Denver, a lot of people have it. I spoke there a few times, and I brought the book. It's called Israel Betrayed. Chapter 2 is Goldstein. And you get that on lulu.com, www.lulu.com. You get into Lulu, and it says search, and you write my name, Chamish. That's Chamish, and it'll take you to my books. In this case, it's Israel Betrayed, and it doesn't cost much. I think this book sent to your house is $16. A download on your computer is $8. And that's how you get this, the Goldstein so-called massacre is exposed in Israel Betrayed. The website, you can now get to it just by doing BarryChamish.com. And I have a brand new DVD. I'm going to send it to you within a day or two. It is called Taking Israel Back. And it was professionally recorded in New York a month and a half ago. And it's a program to somehow save the state of Israel. And if you want it, give me a call. It's not at Lulu. You have to phone me. That's 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. Now we're back to the mosque. Now, Goldstein is alone. He's banging on the door. People heard him screaming, "Get me out of here," and no one opened the door. He was trapped. The first thing Goldstein does is what any soldier would do. He shoots in the air. It's a warning. Don't come near me. How do we know this? Because the police found two bullets of his in the roof. One was on an upper pillar. The other was the roof. They found his bullets in there. He shot in the air first. It didn't work. Next stage, you shoot on the ground as a warning to stay away from him. How do we know this? All of the wounded, I mean all of them, were hit below the waist with shrapnel. It was bullets bouncing off the stones ricocheting, the bullets ricocheting. They were hitting the shins. That's because Goldstein, again, did not shoot to kill. And finally, in a dreadful, dreadful last act, there was someone inside the mosque who, there was a closet with 20 metal clubs. They were distributing clubs to beat Goldstein dead to a pulp. There was also an axe inside the mosque. I spoke to the coroner who got Goldstein's body. He said it came in a sack. He said it looked like a cow out of the slaughterhouse. He said he was in 1,000 pieces. Who put the bars inside a mosque? They were certainly prepared to get rid of the body in a hurry. Now, at this point in the trial, we're talking about the best of the best of the Arabs. One was a director of Hebron's hospital. One was from the municipality. There were others who said that there were soldiers on the roof, on the roofs in the courtyard outside the compound. He said everyone who tried to escape was shot. There were 51 dead. You have 29 Arabs who were trampled to death in the panic. You have yourself another 22 that were shot dead by Israeli soldiers. The Shamgar Commission said only six were shot by soldiers. The figure was higher. They saw them on the rooftop shooting people. Anyone who tried to escape the mosque was shot by Israeli soldiers. And this, by the way, has been immensely covered up. And the soldiers were supposedly trying to save their own life from the raging mob. The mob was raging because they were set up to rage. Amongst the dead, one of the first to go was the imam, the one who slapped his hand supposedly on the microphone causing the grenades. He was amongst the first ones shot dead. You had Nevada massacre, Goldstein did not kill one person. He was not a murderer. He was a very mild-mannered doctor, educated, who served Arab patients as much as Jewish patients. But he was set up as a patsy. First of all, he was a member at one time in his life of the JDL, so he was a perfect setter to do the act as far as the murderers were concerned. And he was a doctor, so that he could be called up in the middle of the night, put on his uniform, go into the mosque, and be a perfect patsy. Now, let's look at who organized the murder, and later on we'll go into more details if we have the time. The head of the Jewish department, the department that was supposed to prevent massacres in the West Bank, was Carmi Gilon. The man's a butcher. He was deeply involved in the Rabin assassination as well. He was head of the Jewish department. He did not testify at the Shamgar Commission because his brother, Ilan Gilon, was the registrar of the court and didn't call him. That simple. He got out of it through his brother. Now, if you're the head of the department of the Shabak, the Secret Services, whose duty is to prevent a massacre like this happening, well, obviously you'd be fired for this glaring error. What happened to Carmi Gilon? He was immediately named head of the whole Shabak. That was his punishment for the massacre. He was promoted to head of the whole Shabak, where a year later he took care of Rabin. Did he ever take care of Rabin? He worked with Paris on the assassination, but first he had to take care of the settlers in Hebron. Now, why was this horrible act done? To get the Jews out of Hebron. Now, I spoke with someone who was pretty high up in the security establishment, and he took me aside, doesn't matter where right now. He said that there was a plan that the Arabs would be so enraged that they would start massacring the Jews of Hebron. The army would come in, supposedly to rescue the Jews, get them all out of Hebron, and that would be the end of the Jewish presence in Hebron, all to promote the Oslo Peace Accord. That's how they were going to get the Jews out of Hebron, was through this massacre. Unfortunately for them, Rabin said no, he wouldn't permit it. Rabin was very heroic despite being terribly used. And I was told this was when the death warrant was signed on Rabin, when he turned down Peres and Balin on everyone who said, bring in the army, get the Jews out of Hebron. This is our incident. Rabin said, no, it isn't. All righty.
We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here. Let's say create incident, and then, of course, they get it resolved.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. Do you frequently turn up the TV? Does everyone seem to mumble? Do you struggle to hear loved ones during the holidays? If so, it's time to have your hearing checked.
Hello, my name is Michelle Gross, and I'm a certified audiologist. I've been helping people with their hearing and hearing aid problems for over 20 years. Columbine Hearing Center is dedicated to customized hearing health care.
Call 303-857-6688 today and make an appointment to start hearing better. KHNC listeners will receive a free one-year supply of batteries with their new hearing aid. That's 303-857-6688.
17 years.
12 and a half years. I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. Stop paying bills month after month and never getting ahead. For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get The Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Join the Beth Messiah congregation and celebrate Passover 2008 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Sunday, April the 20th, 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in North Glen. Deadline for reservations is April the 13th. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's 1-800-205-6245. And hug Sameach.
Well, Dr. Stan here. Our guest this morning, Barry Shamus. Barry picked up the story.
Well, the Waqf, which is the Arabs who, the religious ministry of the Arabs, under their sheikh, Sheikh Salah Natasha, promised to testify at the Shamgar Commission to the truth. And what the sheikh said was, for both our peoples, he was going to tell the truth. Now, there was something that happened before, after that statement, where in the end, all of the Waqf decided not to testify. There was a deal cut. You don't tell the truth, and we'll get the Jews out of Hebron with, at no charge, no trading, absolutely nothing. We'll take the army out of Hebron. Netanyahu was the next prime minister after Rabin. Within 10 days, he pulled out of Hebron, and no one understood why, and I understand why now. If the Arabs started talking about what really happened in Hebron, it would have blown this so-called peace process sky high, which it should have done. These people who gave us peace don't care who they kill. This is the outrage going on in Israel. They don't care if they kill 51 Arabs or if they kill the Jews of Hebron. Just so long as they get their peace process off the ground. This was a massacre planned to promote the peace process. And that's why when people say to me, I'm anti-peace, meaning that in some way I'm some sort of fascistic dictatorial, I said, people, these people are murderers. They murder Arabs and they murder Jews. I said, you're not anti-peace, you're anti-them. The Hebron so-called massacre got a patsy named Goldstein to promote ideals that he never, ever would have believed in. Now, how much time do we have left?
Let's see, we've got about, maybe about 4 minutes or so.
All right. I'm going to do the boring stuff that we did last night. I'll just say these are two details at the Shamgar Commission that you should know about. There were two sets of, all the soldiers and all the police weren't there. The soldiers slept in, and there was only one instead of six at their posts inside the mosque. As for the police, there was a shooting in Kiryat Arba just before the massacre, and all the police except for three were called out of the mosque. There was no one guarding the place. What a coincidence. They got rid of both the police and the soldiers who could have prevented the massacre. Had they been, of course, they would have been witnesses, and we don't want too many witnesses. The soldiers were on the outside of the compound. They were Yosef Drori and Eli Melek. They saw Goldstein arrive at 4:45 with an M16. The killing was not done with an M16. It was done with a small Galil automatic weapon called the Glilon. But the soldier inside the mosque at the entrance to the actual prayer hall, Rotem, him. Saul Goldstein arrived at 5:20 carrying a Leland. The soldiers, the policemen, really, I'm sorry, border police, outside the compound saw another setter that they didn't recognize follow Goldstein into the Cave of the Patriarchs. Seconds after Goldstein arrived with his M16, another so-called setter arrived with a Gleilon. There were two times for Goldstein's entrance. Shamgar settled on 5:20 and said all three policemen were wrong. They didn't see Goldstein at 4:45. There was a regular circus preparing this conspiracy of people who drove Goldstein to the conspiracy, who entered the mosque with Goldstein. There were at least two other compatriots who entered the killing mosque with Goldstein. If you read the book, you can sort this out. I have the actual details of how they did it. The key of the matter is this is just as complicated as the Rabin murder, and maybe I should have written a whole book on it. But the fact remains, the evidence is massive amounts of evidence that this was not a lone shooter who shot up a mosque. This was a Jewish patsy used to get the Jews out of Hebron. This was the real Hebron massacre.
And, of course, you always have a patsy, whether it's Lee Harvey Oswald, Soran Soran, James Earl Ray, or Goldstein. There's always a patsy to blame. But, of course, the real agenda is to create increased hatred between the Jews and the Arabs and the Arabs and the Jews. And, of course, in this instance, to begin to go after this Oslo Accord, the things laid out by the Oslo Accord, and now the Jews are going to give up Hebron.
And they already did. There's right. Only a tiny little presence now. The fact is the right wing have been used by the government, certain forces in them, to make Goldstein a hero, that he massacred the Arabs because they were going to massacre the Jews. All of this is complete nonsense. What we have is a poor sap who, against his will and his mentality and his personality, was made to look like a killer. He was totally innocent. Baruch Goldstein was totally innocent of the massacre. He didn't do it.
Well, there's so many tragedies out there, and all we can do is just tell the people and hope that at least some of them will hear and understand that the same things are going on in the United States today as go on over in Israel.
Well, all I can say is I sorted out the details last night and got the important ones tonight. Whoops, are we off?
No, we're in good shape. We're just at the end of the program, but our guest has been, of course, Barry Shamish. Parting thought before we let you go.
Parting thoughts. Don't believe a thing. They are manipulating us.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Join the Beth Messiah congregation and celebrate Passover 2008 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Sunday, April the 20th, 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in North Glen. Deadline for reservations is April the 13th. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's 1-800-205-6245. And hug Sameach.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and you see this technique used over and over again. For instance, the establishment created the current financial crisis. In other words, they did everything they could to create the first stock market bubble, and then the housing bubble, and now the CDO bubble, and the hedge fund bubble, and the derivative bubble, and of course, we face the destruction of our whole monetary system. But don't you worry. In response to that, the very people who created the problem now want the Federal Reserve System, which is a privately owned corporation created by the bankers for the bankers to enrich the bankers. Now they want to give them control over ever more aspects of our economy and of our financial institutions. You create the problem, and then you come up with a solution that you want that enriches the rich and impoverishes the people. And the best way to destroy a nation is to debauch its currency. And that's just what they've done. The reason that the price of oil is going up is because the price, the value of our dollar is going down. And we're headed in the same direction as happened in certainly in Zimbabwe, where they have today 100,000% a year inflation. Well, we're only about 12%. They're lying to a Zimbabwe rate of inflation, but just wait and see. Well, I hope we never get to the point where our State Department has brought Zimbabwe today. Well, if you want to understand what's really going on financially, let me suggest my talk on the financial tsunami. It's an excellent talk, and there's a syllabus that goes with us that will help you understand the various terms that they use and how to find out what's really going on. And believe me, the government is massively increasing M2 and M3, and what they're doing is laying us open for runaway inflation. So you need to get my talk on the financial tsunami. The two pamphlets we have made up of our newsletters, one, The Financial Meltdown, the other, The History of Money. And lastly, of course, the books, The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you haven't read it, you don't understand how the monetary system works, and you're going to get wiped out. If you're going to get one book, get The Creature from Jekyll Island, and then the book by my good friend Anthony Sutton before he died, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and then the last little book written all over 100 years ago by Andrew Dickinson White, the dean of Cornell University, called Fiat Money Inflation in France, because they tried it in France in 1789, and it didn't work, and it's not going to work now. The whole world financial system is beginning to implode. And if you're going to survive, you better get the information. The talk on financial tsunami is a good place to begin. We have a 4-tape set on the financial Armageddon. Get the information. Help us spread the facts and the truth that there is a cabal that controls our financial system, that controls our government. It works through the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a front for a secret society. How can you verify that? Professor Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Who is Carol Quigley? Well, he taught at Princeton and Harvard before he went to Georgetown University and met his most famous student, William Jefferson Clinton, who even gave the Carol Quigley inaugural lecture there at Georgetown. Well, you need to have the information. You need to understand. The Council on Foreign Relations always provides the chairman of the Federal Reserve System and the Secretary of State and the head of the CIA and usually the head of the FBI They all come from this little clique, which is a front for a secret society created in 1891. But read what Professor Quigley says. Tragedy and Hope, a History of the World in Our Time. The Anglo-American Establishment. My four tapes set on the secret government are number 1-800...